Today on the Duff and Quarters podcast, we dissect a brutal round three of footy. We look at concussion protocols and whether Nathan Fyfe will be ready for the Western Derby. We look at the below the knees rule, which caused some outrage at the weekend. Dusty Martin losing his cool, and West Coast now a clear flag favourite.
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Tuesday, which means it is time for the first edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. Quarters, this is the podcast where...
Everyone gets a lick of the ice cream, Duff.
Is that a Ross line?
It's a Ross line.
Very and good.
Probably one of his coaches before him.
So we're brought to you by Tab Touch. I have with me in the studio Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. I am Mark Duffield, the senior football writer of the West Australian. We are talking ahead of Western Derby 49 at Optus Stadium on Saturday night. But Quarters, before we get on to that, round three, what did you make of it?
It was brutal, Duff. Brutal on a number of fronts. Brutal in, we saw what happens when you attack the footy and you're in, the circumstances don't help you, i.e. Nat Fyfe. Brutal as in what happens when you just suffer a spate of injuries to the wrong personnel, i.e. Richmond. And brutal as in when there's a lot of anticipation about you and you start the year in horror fashion, i.e. Melbourne.
Loving Melbourne. Like, I'm waiting for Monty, the cognac and the well, and the Cuban cigars and the road to Buller.
There's no chalet spots available.
traffic is very heavy.
Well, Montague turned round to Bartholomew and he said, "We've got ourselves a convoy." It's the spotlight is on Melbourne. It was on Essendon last week. It's on Melbourne this week. It's brutal. It has been a brutal weekend. And, I just hope that, Nat doesn't look well. I've got no doubt he doesn't play this week. No doubt. Let's just remove him from the equation this week. I'm hoping he gets back the following week. But the main thing is his health. And let's just hope he recovers 100% in the shortest space of time.
Yeah, let's start with Nathan Fyfe. I don't think he'll play this week, but concussion is a funny thing. I remember the worst concussion I had, and I had five of them playing mug footy as a mug. Ended up in hospital, and I was fine 3 days later, whereas two others I had which didn't appear to be anywhere near as severe, I ended up missing football the following week because I still wasn't quite right. I think when we look at the severity of contact, we look at the fact he was in a neck brace yesterday, and the fact that they're probably going to have medical sign-off on this by tomorrow to allow him to train to prove his fitness and recover from training and see how he pulls up, I suspect those things will say it's not enough time to get over. But concussion is a funny thing. Their doctors will make the first decision and then the club will make the second decision. If this were a do-or-die Western Derby that they felt they had a 50-50 chance of winning, there'd be a lot more incentive for him to play, whereas this is a West Coast home derby with West Coast the clear favourite. They would have their work cut out getting this done with Nathan Fyfe, so the strategic play may be to leave him out.
You know, 20 years ago, we're not even having this conversation. Fyfe plays. And thank goodness we've advanced. The thing is it's inexact. They really, for all the good work they're doing around the concussion space, and it's good work, it's still inexact. So I'm tending to, I don't mind Peter Jess's call. Now, I'm not sure if 19 days is the magic number, whatever it is, but I think there should be something set in concrete because I think caution is the best course of action, regardless.
The problem with Peter Jess's call is how do you tell a player who gets a head knock in the first week of a final series, you're going to miss the grand final, no matter how your team goes.
That's just life, Duff. I think you've got your rules in place. You've got your rules in place.
But the problem with that is that if the best medical technology they have tells you that a player is fit to play, he should be allowed to play.
Yeah.
And Peter Jess is trying to drum up publicity for a class action.
Well, that's fine. Let's forget about him personally. I just think I like the idea.
I think most people, even if you said it's a mandatory 1 week, I have less problem with that than 19 days. I mean,
I'm not sure if 19 days is the magic number, but I just think we just should think caution ahead of anything else.
I agree with that. I think, you know, the first thing to do is for the best medical advice to come into play here, which is, you know, the people that analyse Nathan, and there may be that, you know, if they're worried, they do further examination. You know, they make sure there's no bleed on the brain or anything like that, because that definitely rules him out. And you know, my life experience has taught me that concussion is a serious thing. I remember a Narrogin boy, great young footballer from Narrogin, dying after a game of football because he'd been in a car accident during the week, had an undiagnosed minor concussion, went out and played a game of football, lost consciousness in the rooms after the game, never regained consciousness, which was a tragic event for that town. And I didn't go to school in Narrogin for several years after that, but the town was still affected by that, and his family was still affected by that when I went to school in Narrogin. So I understand, you know, it's a serious thing, but let's let the doctors do their work and then see what they say. I suspect Nathan Fyfe won't be out there on Saturday night, but let's let the doctors work that out.
A couple of other issues, Duff, at the weekend. There was a fair bit of hysteria around below the knees contact. Tom Phillips, the free kick against the 50-metre penalty. I have no problems with the free kick, I've got to say from the outset. I don't mind it. The rule's there for a reason. It's to protect the legs, and I have no problem with the free kick. I do have a problem with the inconsistency and the inconsistent application of it, and I think the 50 metre was a little bit over the top, but I have no problem with the free. But I think some weeks it's called, some weeks it's not called, and I think everyone's a bit confused about it, and that's, I think, what's led to a lot of the hysteria.
I think there were two, weren't there? There was the one where Adam Chera went over the top of Jack Billings, which was clearly a mistake, that free kick. I think that's not what the rule was brought in for. The Tom Phillips one with Jamie Cripps, I would argue, was debatable because there were two free kicks. There's the free kick for below the knees, and there's the free kick for high contact, which Jamie Cripps made on Tom Phillips, who actually had the ball in his hands when Jamie Cripps' arm clipped him on the neck above the shoulders. Completely accidental, you know, trying to lay a tackle as well as go in and compete for the ball. So when the whistle blows, Collingwood immediately thinks that it's their free kick because they've seen the high contact. The umpire interprets it as the below the knees is the one that counts, and then he pings them 50 because they've thrown the ball to the wrong bloke. And it wasn't, there was no premeditation in where the ball was thrown. They instinctively thought it was their free kick because there'd been high contact. Common sense umpiring would have said just give the ball to Jamie Cripps because there were two free kicks, so the umpire's entitled to pay one of them.
Yeah.
But he just frog-marched him back 50 metres and turned it into a goal. And that, to me, just reeked of an ump that thinks the whistle's a bit more powerful than it actually is. And if you want an example of common-sense umpiring from the weekend, Dean Maher gets his decision to throw the ball up at the last bounce in the Fremantle. It was a classic example of common-sense umpiring. If he bounces that ball and gets it wrong,
a couple of seconds, precious seconds wasted. It was very smart.
It kept the game alive. Well done, Dean. I think that was a fantastic thing, and Fremantle ended up getting the result, which obviously made their fans very happy. So that's great.
But results aside, the other big event at the weekend was the implosion of Dusty, and the remarkable comments of his coach afterwards clearly just made it in, born out of frustration, clearly.
So is no one allowed to play on Dustin Martin?
Exactly. Great players have been tagged for forever.
I
thought that, for me, Duff, that was just a really frustrated coach who's copped another injury. He's also, or two injuries, and he's also, and his players imploded, and he's just, how much more can we cop here? I think it was just a frustrated coach lashing out, and probably, I reckon half an hour later he would have thought about that and thought to himself, I should not have made those comments. I really do believe
I think Adam Simpson's going to say, well, I don't want anyone playing on Josh Kennedy this week. Ross Lyon will go, look, we could really do with Jesse Hogan kicking a couple of goals. So McGovern and Barris, you're not allowed to play on him this week because people, our fans have come to watch number 11 play. And, you know, it's like midfielders don't just get to run around and bring their own ball.
Exactly.
And it's not like Matt DeBoer is Tony Liberatore. You know, Matt DeBoer would have played on him. He would have had body contact on him at every stoppage. He would have made Dusty work for the ball. But I would have thought that's what happens to Nathan Fyfe and Patrick Dangerfield every week.
Well, it does. It was a funny comment from Hubby because in one breath he said, but well done to Matty De Boer, by the way. Well done. But...
yeah, I don't like it.
No, exactly. Well, none of us like it when our best players get tagged out of the game. Dusty, Richmond has appealed as expected. Well, you would have to appeal.
Well, you've got to take a shot at it.
Yeah, so you? Obviously they're trying medium down to low, 2 weeks down to one. I don't think it'll happen. I think he'll cop the two. I think Grimes should have copped two last week, by the way, but and that's for another discussion. But I think he cops his two and probably a fine for the gestures for bringing the game into disrepute or whatever you want to call it. But, giving the bird to the crowd, the drug related.
I don't think it was to the crowd.
No, it was to mummy or to whoever. But certainly the drug related gesture wasn't. But it would be interesting. There's a call for perhaps we should know the whole conversation. What did mummy say to him? But look, that's footy. Things get set out in the middle of the ground, and you've got to be better than that. And I think that at a time when they're missing their best players, their best three, now they're missing their best four because Dusty won't be playing at the weekend. And I think it's probably shows a bit of a lack of leadership at the moment from him.
So, yeah, and what people need to understand, there'll be people who will sort of go, well, throw the book at him for the gesture and the...
he'll cop a fine.
And there'll be other people who say, oh, it's just all in the... I'm not that perturbed by it.
Not really,
But what I would say is that when they do the broadcast rights agreements and they mic up the umps and they basically get the public closer to what is actually happening, there's a price put on that.
Mm.
And what players need to realise and what coaches need to realise is that the people who are paying for the broadcast rights, whether it be Foxtel or the Seven Network, they're saying, well, we want this and we want our fans that are in the lounge room watching on TV, we want them to be able to see this and hear this. So if you take the extra money, this is what you're giving up. We're buying something, we're buying access to this, so you need to be careful how you go about things. You can't have the F-bomb and other words being dropped in a public broadcast.
Well, don't be careful. Just R-rate it.
R-rated. Play all the games after 9:30.
Have the general classification, and then after 9:30, we'll have the R-rated version where the mics are on. Not a bad call.
Dusty might ask for Richmond to ask for more 9:30 matches.
It's actually not a bad call, Dusty. You have the round replayed late at night with the mics on.
This is what broadcast networks are paying when they pay that extra money.
Yeah.
This is what they're paying for, and therefore you need to adjust your behaviour accordingly, because it makes up part of your $1 million a year pay packet. So make the adjustment. It's not that hard.
On to the round three. Duff, how many did you get?
Not enough.
Yeah, I got five. I scrambled my way to five somehow.
So I'm just...
which is sort of just about par, but probably above par this weekend.
Yes. So I didn't get Adelaide.
Yeah.
I didn't get Melbourne. I didn't get Gold Coast. And I didn't get West Coast.
I'm the same as you, I think. Yeah.
I think I got the rest of them. So it's tough tipping at the moment.
It is tough, and almost didn't get Sunday. Frio gone at three-quarter time, I thought. And I was thinking back to a week earlier with the Hawthorn Dogs game, and you're down a rotation. And Bradley Hill, I think, had a bit of a knock on the ankle, so he wasn't 100%. I thought this is really going to hurt them now. St Kilda got a bit of a surge. So well done, Frio. It was a home game. They did have the benefit of the home crowd, but that was a good win, Duff. That was one of their better wins, I reckon, given the circumstances.
I think it was a terrific win, and I think we would look on it far more favourably if it wasn't for the three out on the Fools in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That kind of coloured our thinking on the... I was actually down...
Two Brayshaw and one to Lobb, is that right?
Yeah. I think that probably made everyone think, a typical Frio, ugly, scratching, scraping win. But I think for the most part, Fremantle were terrific. I'll tell you who was terrific quarters, Brandon Matera.
He was. After halftime, someone needed to stand up, and he did.
Yeah.
So well done, because I've potted him in the past, and, he quite stupidly missed round one with just a ridiculous suspension. But well done. When they needed you put your hand up.
And two of those marks, the thing I liked about Brandon Matera's game, three goals, and they were all genuine forwards goals. So there was the diving mark in the pocket and then the screw kick from the set shot. Great forwards goal. The front and square in the goal square, a great crumbing goal. And then the tough mark on the dead lead with a defender right up his clacker. Great mark, went back and kicked the goal. That was a real tough small forwards input into a game. So I hope that Brandon goes onwards and upwards.
He needs to follow it up. He needs to follow it up this week. Luke Ryan's game I really liked, and Sonny Walter's game I really liked. Four quarters from Sonny, you know, when they needed to. And there's been question marks over his ability, over his engine. But great effort. Luke Ryan particularly, I thought, that playing that intercept role, which you know he plays well. But I think he just looks like he's taken another step up to match the hair.
And quarters, West Coast is the clear flag favourite now.
Oh, unquestionably, I think. Yep. I suppose we might be being a bit unfair to Geelong. I'm looking forward to those two playing. But I think they... Collingwood's got to find a way, I think, because plan A, plan B, plan C haven't worked. And Coast, I think, through their control of the footy, their beautiful use of the footy, and, you know, even McGovern, who we see is critical to the meetings between these two teams, wasn't his usual dominant self, and they still found a way to win it quite comfortably in the end.
Well, they have four interceptors, and McGovern's only one of them.
Yeah.
Hearn can intercept, Shepherd can intercept, Barris can intercept. They have three tall targets in attack, and they have a multi-prong midfield. They can get you any one of five ways.
But, you know, Collingwood should be able to do the same, though, because they have a very deep midfield. They have lots of targets in attack, and they have a good, solid defence as well, probably better than solid. But, you know, Shepherd was a good example. A little dodgy early. I think we were thinking DeGoey is going to have one of those games here where he kicks five or six, but I think he turned it around a bit. So there's really a lot to like about the Eagles' performance. And another win at the MCG just builds that confidence about that venue and what could well be, will certainly be an opponent deep in the finals.
Now, you mentioned Geelong. They're going fantastically well. GWS, great turnaround win against the Tigers. And Jeremy Cameron.
Well, and Finlayson, actually. The two Jeremys, the two left-footers. But I think when you... Richmond, the caveat for me is Richmond with a lot of holes in that back line. So it was really, I mean, if you're Jeremy Cameron and you're looking at this game, you're licking your lips saying, here's an opportunity to put my hand up. Having said that, seven goals, 30 possessions, goal assists. It was a really complete game, and it's what we expect from him. He's not a contested mark beast. He's that leading forward who likes to run, and I think what we saw at the weekend was the Jeremy Cameron we expect more of. Interestingly, Leon Cameron's coach saying we're too harsh on him. Yeah, maybe, but I think when you set a standard, when you raise the bar, you do expect it every week. So more of the same, please.
Well, I reckon West Coast has set the bar on stuff like this, and I think Leon's letting Jeremy off a bit easy if he doesn't acknowledge this. West Coast forwards compete and get the ball on the deck, so they don't get out marked much, whereas Jeremy Cameron was part of a forward line the previous week against West Coast that got out marked consistently. And that's why there was criticism coming from again. He was I think, mediocre towards the end of last season. But when you see a game like that from him, and he comes at the ball carrier and he takes good marks, and some of them are on the lead, but some of them are good one-on-one overhead marks, and kicks some remarkable goals around the corner from a long way out. The left-footed full forwards, I mean, you know, well, the left-footed forwards. Finlayson's a left-footer, Cameron's a left-footer, and, of course, Buddy... left footer who looked dangerous on the weekend, but Liam Jones did a great job.
You talked about the ball carriers, Josh Kelly.
Yeah, can play a bit.
He's might be my favourite footballer now. He's the sort of player you go just to watch. The way he threads himself through, rarely misuses the footy. He's just an exquisite player.
Now, it wouldn't be complete today if we didn't talk about the Gold Coast Suns. 2-1, they're less than a kick away from being 3-0.
Yep.
Fantastic win against the Doggies at Marvel Stadium.
Found a way. And I noted there was commentary at the weekend, you know, the Doggies were surging, and it was the expectation was that...
They'd get them.
A great effort. They'll get them. But what another great effort from the Gold Coast. But no, they found a way. They found a bit of belief. I still stick to my theory. I think this side's going to be up and about. They will drop away at some stage, and they'll be very gettable. But this early season stuff, it's great. And, you know, Queensland footy is fantastic at the moment. We talk about Brisbane in a minute. But, you know, a couple of defenders on, you know, second chances, Collins and Homsch, just the way it's all fitting. And Stuart Dew has remade this footy club by necessity because there's been, as we've spoken about so often, Duff, they've been raided, this club, decimated this club. And he's drawn a line in the sand last year and he said, Stephen May, Tom Lynch, if you don't want to be here, don't, particularly with May, then go and do what you want. And, you know, look how things are going for May at the moment. But, you know, lot to like about the way they're developing that squad. And, you know, just wins early. Just give them a bit of belief and acknowledge that they're going about it in the right fashion.
And, of course, Brisbane, Eric Hipwood, five before halftime, another lefty forward.
Yeah, six goals. And we obviously rate him highly. He's a great player. But it was also just when the game had to be won again. This was a game where, you know, they could have easily turned their toes up, probably would have in the past, but they found a way. And Oscar McInerney's mark in the pack, sort of backing on sideways, just beautiful. And that sort of action just brings everyone along with you, don't you agree?
Absolutely.
And you can see as soon as he took that mark, kicked that goal, everyone joined in and they wanted a bit of it. Charlie Cameron's a great example too. Little Blake running around for Port goes all right too.
Maybe the rising star. We might have seen the rising star. Connor Rosie was... How many first-year players, as teenagers, kick you five goals in a big game?
Yeah, not...
Not many.
No, it's rare, very rare. And comparisons made with Judd for his six at the same venue a few years ago. Great to see. And Port, you know, they've discovered a couple, actually, but he's probably... Yeah, it's very early. It's round three. Sam Walsh hasn't been nominated yet. Won't be far away, I'm sure. But he's going to be hard to beat, Rosie. He's a ripper.
So Sam Walsh is one good game away from being nominated, isn't he? Well, he's played steadily in the first three.
Probably could have been nominated already.
In any one of the three
games. Yeah, it's just that he's been a bit stiff because like last weekend he would have been nominated, no doubt. But you can't not nominate Rosie for that performance.
I've got no doubt the AFL budgets, they look at Sam Walsh and think, well, he's going to play 10 good games. So we'll pick one of them and we'll get him nominated.
Yeah.
But then when these other guys are bobbing up and playing a good one, then we'll get them.
Yeah. Earlier, please, because you never know. You don't want an injury around the corner and then he can't get nominated.
Well, Andrew Brayshaw didn't get a nomination last year because they kept on waiting and waiting and waiting and then eventually he got injured and didn't finish the season. Your boys, Quarters?
Yeah, look, they were. It was pretty dire at...
That's Hawthorn for those who have been living under a rock for the last
it was very.
Years.
It was dire when I was at a local footy function and I was just looking at my phone. It was 27-1 and I'm thinking, oh, dear, what's going on here? Turned it around really nicely. I think North, there's real concerns there in terms of they're not far off a win, but I don't know. Ben Brown's not playing well, but I think he's probably suffering from a lack of, Waite's departure has obviously hurt him. He's there playing a lone role with Mason Wood hasn't come on yet and he's suffering a lot of injuries. So playing a bit of a lone role down there at the moment. Mm. And I think it's and it's telling. You can see. The Hawks...
They need Jack Zeebel midfield too. I reckon that's the other thing.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
They're getting Scunnett clearances, and you're right about that they're too one-dimensional in attack. So they probably think that Jack adds a bit to their attack, but they desperately need his strength.
Scunnett clearances, and Cunnington has, what, 32, 20-odd contested. So, you know, that's a bad sign for them. For the Hawks, lots alike. Bruce, five goals, another...
Just a rookie pick.
Yeah, and you think about them trying to trade him off to the Gold Coast a couple of years ago and you just shake it.
How does Luke Bruce be a rookie pick?
Well...
Doesn't fall over, doesn't miss targets, doesn't miss opportunities.
He was in the New South Wales Academy or certainly comes from that part of the world.
It must have been the secret academy. I mean, seriously.
Well, there have been many players over the years who've slipped through fingers. But yeah, he's just a fantastic player and just... Obviously one of those players with great balance and just doesn't miss.
No.
Just doesn't miss. And it was really, for Hawthorn fans, Chad Wingard took a little while to get into the game, but three goals and two really critical goals in the final quarter when they needed them.
Didn't take long to get the strut going.
No, it's bringing the crowd
likes,
into
likes
it.
Likes an audience, does Chad?
It was nice to see a kid called Dylan Moore get the call up too. Jared Roughhead was a late withdrawal and Dylan Moore, who's been a Hawthorn supporter his entire life, finally realised his dream to play for the club he grew up supporting. So well done.
Okay, before we go, let's send Monty and Barty up on the road to the snowfields with a bit of diagnosis. Can Melbourne 0-3?
Yes.
Can they make the 4?
They have to win this week. have to win this week. They can make the four. It's only round three. Of course they can.
Can they make the eight? Well, obviously.
Sorry, can they make the eight? Definitely make the eight. Can they make the four? Yes, but can't lose this week.
Okay, so how do they turn it around? What is the main problem that ails Melbourne?
Well, a leaky defence for a start. They've got to get numbers more. It's not just numbers back, but they just have to be more. I mean, clearly, their defenders are allowing their forwards too much latitude. There are a couple of players down there, but and I just think their forward line is, they've just got to find function because it's dysfunctional at the moment. There's obviously midfield is building into something. Oh, really interesting Goodwin's quotes. A week ago, he said our midfield is suffering from a lack of pre-season fitness. And then this week, it's, oh, no, they're fully fit. We're not using that as an excuse. So which one is it?
They had a big week on the track. That's why they couldn't win on Friday. They were tired.
So the answer is, I think their midfield is unquestionably brimming with talent and will improve it week on week. They need to be more accountable midfield. Well, do something. They're sort of not zoning. They're not man on man. I don't know what they're doing.
They're not doing, they're neither one thing nor the other.
And their forwards need to be less clustered. Just a bit more open would help as well. They'll get a chance this week, though.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So we've got some big games coming up later in the week. We'll be back on Thursday to dissect these games.
Big derby. So
try and find you some winners. Try and find ourselves some winners' quarters. Yeah. Would be nice.
Look, fives, it's not dire. I'll have that at the moment.
Okay.
It's a struggle through the weekend to get through them.
Oh, particularly when you lose on Thursday and Friday night.
Oh, it hurts.
It really leaves a sour taste in your mouth. It does. That Indian curry I was looking forward to on Friday just didn't taste anywhere near as good.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back on Thursday to dissect the weekend's matches, including Western Derby 49. Look forward to your company then.